And certainly, he has blessed us in many, many things. This morning, we brought a message upon the Lord's coming. He's coming just like he said. And I'm glad the Word of God tells us that the Lord is coming. I'm glad he gives us scripture on top of scripture time and time again of his word that tells us and assures our heart that he will come back for us. But we're living in the period of time now that we know he's coming. We can see many of the things that are spoken of in the scripture beginning to come to pass. And we're living in these days, and sometimes it's very difficult to survive. It's very difficult to do the things that we know we should when we look at everything around us. And so with the thoughts of this morning in our hearts concerning his coming, tonight I want us to deal with how to have some spiritual stability in these last days. I believe it's very important that we, as God's children, will be unmovable, always abounding in the grace of the Lord. And we should have stability. We should not be like every wind of the that tosses and turns, like the wind that's blowing outside tonight. And you go to the seashore and the waves are always tossing to and fro. As a believer, as a Christian, we should be stable. We should have our foundation set upon Him and not in the sinking sand. But as we look around us, it's very troubling. I know it is to me. I begin sometimes to think, what in the world is going on? How is this all going to work out? When all along we know how it's going to work out, we just don't understand from point A to point B those things that's going to happen in between that time. And so tonight I want us to look at Psalm number 37, just sort of as an introductory verses concerning the age in which we're living. And then we'll turn over to the Gospel of Matthew and look at some things there in chapter 24. But we begin tonight in Psalm number 37, and the Lord tells us this Psalm of David. David says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Now that's good instruction that David gives us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are not to fret ourselves because of evildoers. And everywhere we look, everything around us, we are seeing propagated to us evildoers and those that are consciously aware that what they do is very ungodly, but yet they do not care. And for those of us that are saved, those of us that have that place prepared for us that we dealt with this morning, we are not to fret ourselves. I can remember my mother at times telling me, stop fretting. And I knew what she meant. I was pouting, and we all understand that terminology. And maybe she'd get on to me for something or wouldn't let me do something. And she said, just stop your fretting. And I knew what she meant, and that means get your chin up and go on about your business because you're not going to do it anyway. You might as well enjoy what's left of your life. And so here we find in this verse of Scripture, God tells us to fret not because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now that's a pretty strong statement that the Lord tells us here. He says, don't fret over them. Don't be envious over the work of iniquity. And then he says, because they're going to be soon cut down like the grass. They're going to wither away. They're going to just be nothing. And I think we can understand, identify with the grass being cut down and withering and just nothing there. Before we had the rain last week, the yard here and the yard at the house was brown as these pews, and there wasn't any life looked like. And then a little bit of rain comes, and it's all come back to life. I told them on Facebook, I said, I enjoy the rain, just hate to have to mow now. Sure enough, I got back from the trip and had to mow yesterday, and it was hot. And now it's drying up again, and probably going to maybe rain again. And if it does, praise the Lord. But I still don't like mowing my yard. And that doesn't change. But the grass withers away. It is cut down and it withers away. And that's what God says that the wicked are going to be like. They're going to be soon cut down. Trust in the Lord, verse 3 says, and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself. That's the third time he tells us to fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Well, doesn't that sound good? Just a little while, the wicked shall not be. And I'm glad tonight I can declare from the Word of God that in just a little while, the wicked one will not be. He's going to be cast in the bottomless pit forever. And so he tells us here, a little while, the wicked shall not be, but yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with their teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. These verses tonight tell us that there's a lot of things that we see. And then the Lord turns it around and says, yes, but I know the end result. You may see them flourish. You may see the wicked prosper. God says they're not going to prosper forever. You may see those things take place, but a little while the wicked will cease to be, and they'll no longer be there. The wicked may plot, and they may gnash their teeth against us, but the Lord's going to laugh at him. The Lord laughs at him, for he seeth his day is coming. Thank God we have a Lord in heaven that knows the end result of the wicked. He knows what's going to take place because he has already given to us the scripture of the end result of wickedness in the lives of wicked people. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Those are just sort of introductory words and verses to maybe introduce some things. Tells us where we are. It's amazing how we have the Bible that written thousands of years ago and can tell us in modern thought where we are spiritually, where we are socially. And God says, don't fret yourself. Don't worry about it, because God says, I know their end. I know they're going to be cut down. I know their day is coming. Have you ever had somebody say, well, his day's coming? Well, the Lord says that about the wicked. Their day's coming, and the wicked shall be cut down. So now turn Matthew chapter 24, and let's look at verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what is the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. That one statement there has three questions in it. His disciples come, and he says, first of all, tell us when these things shall be. Secondly, what is the sign of thy coming? And thirdly, the end of the world, or the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. So here the Lord is answering their question. These are the beginning of sorrows. It seems as though when you talk about kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation, and you read about the troublesome times that are there, the famines, the pestilence, the earthquakes in many different places, it seems as though that would be be at the end of things. But Jesus says, no, that's just the beginning of sorrows. Now we are living in the time frame before this has taken place. Now, we do see some things. We do look at some things. We have broadcasts. We have news broadcasts that tells us, I don't know, in the last few months, I don't know how many times I've got an alert on my phone or see it on the television that such and such place has had a certain magnitude earthquake, and then a little bit later there's another place has an earthquake. And the Bible says there's going to be earthquakes in many or divers different places. And these are things that make us know that if that's the sign of the coming of the Lord, and we're seeing it now, that means we are close to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so we're here, but how do we have stability? We're here in this, and what are we going to? How are we going to survive until the Lord makes us a survivor? These verses 4 through 7, give us some of the things that are prior to the coming of the Lord. Verse number 8 signals the removal of the church, the beginning of what we call the tribulation period, and this is all out there in the future somewhere. Now, it may not be too far in the future. It may not be just a few hours in the future, because I believe He's at the door. I believe He's at hand. I believe He's there waiting. I believe He's just over the hilltop, and before long He's going to appear, and we're going to leave this world, and we're going to be forever with Him, as we noticed this morning. But if we read some other verses in this chapter, on down in this chapter number 24, we'll find that verse 27 through 31, we're not going to read all those in between, because there's so many things here we could never cover it in one message not and get out on time. We would not be able to cover all these things, but we come to verse number 27. He says here, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, this is literally the second coming of Jesus Christ. When they see Him, when the world looks and sees Him coming in power and glory, they're going to know, the Jew is going to recognize He that we crucified. They're going to recognize who He is. What about before then? I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that time, but how are we going to survive till then? How are we going to make it till then? There's a lot of things at the end of this church age that is given to us, and the world is in turmoil. We went over a little bit of that this morning. There's apostasy and spiritual deception everywhere. If you don't believe that, all you have to do on Sunday morning and on some places, some stations, Monday through Sunday, all you got to do is turn the TV on and you'll hear spiritual deception being preached continually. I mean, everywhere. It is there. And it's amazing the following that those folks have. It's amazing that people that are so off the record and so off key, how many thousands of people they have follow after them, send their money to them, and expecting some great thing from them. And we're in the midst of a spiritual deception that is nowhere given in the Scripture as such. There's disobedience to authority everywhere. We're living in a world when people do not want to have any authority at all over them. That's called anarchy. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do the way I live, and I'm going to live the way I want to. Nobody can tell me. That's anarchy. That's not freedom. That's putting our desires above everything else. And there's the age in which we're living. All you have to do is listen to some of the news in the Middle East. You see it everywhere. Governments falling and across this world, on the continent of Africa, in the Middle East, the Far East, everywhere, people are in turmoil. They're wanting that deliverance that I gave you this morning, and He's going to come, and He's going to present it to them one day, but it'll not be what they want. There's social disorder everywhere, wars and rumors of wars, and it's rampant everywhere, overthrowing established governments and unrest. Even here in the United States, you know, I don't believe we're just a little ways away from the same type of things happening in this country that are happening in other places around the world. We see a little bit of it already raising its head. Well, I thank God for the government I have. I thank God for the nation I have. But we are not immune to the judgment of God. We are not immune to what God says He will judge a nation for when they forget the Lord, and we certainly have done that. We find all across this world famine and disease. The more medicines we get, the more diseases that come up. The more diseases we have, the more medicines are discovered and worked on. And yet there's another strain that makes it impossible to stop that. We hear of pandemics. I had to look that word up. I had a few years ago, they was talking about going to have a pandemic. What in the world is that? I'd always heard epidemic, and I didn't know the difference. And we hear those kind of words, and people are recognizing everywhere that things are not good. Things are not well, and there's sinfulness and perversion. We talked a little bit about that this morning. There's fear and distress. There's people on every kind of aid, medical aid that they can think of, just to have a little bit of peace and rest. How folks, and don't get me wrong, I know that sometimes people have to take those things. I realize that. But I don't believe everybody that takes them have to take them. I believe we need to rest in the Lord and fret not ourselves and trust in Him and believe upon Him. We don't have to have all the things that the world offers to us. And there's fear everywhere. The Bible says men's hearts shall fail because of fear. This whole world is rocking to and fro. It's reeling. It's rocking and rolling its way to a devil's hell, and it brings fear to people because there's uncertainty, there's unknown issues out there. Many of God's people tonight are either discouraged in the work or have become casualties and fallen out of the work. They have either become complacent and not doing anything, or they have just completely stopped and never do anything for God. Those at once were very vibrant. Why is the reason for that? What causes that? But I want us, people here at Grace, I hope that we can become and remain steadfast. Hope we can become and remain unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because this book gives stability. My Lord gives stability to our heart. Now, it doesn't make us immune to all the problems around us and the pressures that we live in. And I'll tell you what, folks at work, public job, there's pressures everywhere. Those are good things, advice given to us that we can have stability, spiritual stability in these last days. How can we do that? Well, first of all, I believe that we should, and I believe maybe we do, understand the times in which we live. I've just described a little bit of that. The times that we are living in are turbulent times. They always have been. Things have always been difficult for God's people. We think we have it bad. You ought to go back just a few hundred years and you'll find out we don't have it bad at all. It'd be good for us maybe to read some history of our ancestors, to read some history of those that have stood and they lost everything they had, but yet they believed what God said, and they acted upon that, and they understood where they lived, they understood what was going on, and they trusted the Lord. Understand the times. Luke 21:28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass," will you agree with me tonight? They have begun to come to pass. So the Scripture says, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now, he's not talking about salvation, redemption there. He's talking about salvation of us, our deliverance as a people, as the people of God. When we see these things begin, now remember, Jesus said these are just the beginning of sorrows. These things that are mentioned there in Matthew 24, he says these are just the beginning of sorrows. This is not all of it. This is just the start of it. And you turn over to Jude and Revelation, you'll find that there's many more sorrows that are headed, this world's headed to. But the Lord tells His people, the Lord tells His disciples, and by the way, you and I tonight, we may not be apostles, but we are disciples. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow Him. And so what He said to His disciples, He says to you and I, these things, the wars and the rumors of wars, we get up in the morning, we'll hear a new war somewhere. We'll hear that Israel is staging itself to attack Iran. And we hear that Iran is staging itself and showing that it can attack Israel and can even attack some of the bases of America. I mean, we hear that clamor all the time. And Jesus said, that's just the beginning. That's just the start of it. Well, so we need to know where we are. We need to know on God's time frame and this timeline that God has put us in. Call time. We need to know where we are. Now, we're not back here. We're not back with Noah. We're not back with the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament, and we have traveled 2,000 years from the cross, and we're getting ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to know where we are. It doesn't do any good to put our head in the sand. It doesn't do any good to hide under the bed. It doesn't do any good to lock the door behind us, because it does not change the times that we're in. And so you and I tonight, if we're going to have stability, we need to understand this is where we are, and so therefore I can expect these things to happen. Wars and famines and pestilence, diseases. And by the way, the word pestilence there talks about it is a form of a disease. It's not just the pestilence in the air. It's airborne diseases maybe, but the pestilence that come. And these are things that God, the Lord said, this is just the beginning of it. But He said, don't worry about it. I know the end. I know their day's coming. I know what's going to happen. I know where they're headed, the wicked that are tossed to and fro. And so we need to understand, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. One of these days we're going to leave this world, and one of these days we're going to be with Him, and we'll have total, complete, 100% redemption. Somebody said, preacher, I thought you said we were totally 100% redeemed when we got saved. Well, you are spiritually, but this old body's still got a lot of work to be done. And one of these days He's going to deliver us out of here, and we're going to have a body just like His, and our life is going to be forever with Him. As we read this morning there in John 14, and He's going to prepare a place for us. And Paul gives us the details that we went over even a week or so back, how that the dead in Christ shall rise first. We are going to have total, complete, 100% redemption. And He says, when you see these things beginning to happen, look up. Lift up your eyes, for it's nigh, even at the door. So number one, just know where we're living. We're not living in Old Testament times. We're not living in years ago. We're living right now. And right now is different than any age that we have ever lived. And things are happening now that have never happened before. And we need to understand. And in understanding that, we can have some stability in our life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles or the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And secondly, we just need to trust the Lord with our life and our livelihood. That's easy to stand behind a pulpit and say that. It's easy for somebody to tell somebody else that. But you and I tonight, we need to trust the Lord with our life. He's able to take care of us. He's able to deliver us. As the song we sang just a moment ago, God delivers again. If He can deliver the Old Testament saints, He can deliver the New Testament saints. If He can deliver those out of the fiery furnace and out of the lion's den, if He can deliver those out of the pit of the murk and the mire, and Jeremiah that was cast there into that pit and murk and mire up to his waist, if He can deliver those people, He can deliver us. And we just need to trust the Lord with our lives and our livelihood. That means the way that we survive. Have stability. God can handle it. God can take care of it. He says, we may get to the point that we're going to say, what in the world are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to buy what we need? We're just a little ways from that. Most people don't believe that, but we're not far from that. There are forces at work tonight to make America nothing more than a third world country, just like everybody. Want everybody to be the same in this world. And there are people tonight that wonder what they're going to eat tomorrow. They wonder how they're going to be clothed. They wonder how they're going to scratch out a living. And here the Lord says, take no thought. What shall you eat? What shall you drink? How are you going to be clothed? For these things the heathen seek after. The word Gentile there means heathen. The lost. These things they're worried about. They're interested in. But He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Lord knows what we need. If we need food, don't you believe God can send food? Now, I've never had that to happen to me, but I believe He could. I've never had somebody have to do that, and on my doorstep would be the food there. The story is told of a man and a woman. They lived in two different houses, and the lady was a Christian. She believed, trusted God for all the things of life. She trusted Him for everything. And beside her lived a man that was an atheist. He believed nothing. He just didn't believe God, didn't believe God could do it. And he'd hear her pray, and he'd mock her and make fun of her. And in the good times, he would say, it's not the Lord doing it, it's just your ability. But their bad times came, and she had to have needed food. Everything was gone, and there was no way of having anything, and she began to pray to the Lord. And He mocked her again, made fun. And it wasn't long as she prayed. The next morning she got up, and there was a bag or two of groceries on her front porch. And she began to praise the Lord, began to honor the Lord. And he, this old atheist, he's around the corner behind a bush. And he said, "The Lord didn't do that. I just did that so you'd think it was Him." She said, "Well, the Lord can use the devil to provide for me also. The Lord can use anything. And the Lord does use anything. So we ought not to worry and ought not to fret. Fret not ourselves. Don't worry about those things. We find that God can take care of it because He has knowledge that we have need of those things. And by the way, He knows it before we ever need it, that we're going to need it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things. What are these things? Fleshly things. Worldly things. All these things will be added. So, understand where we live, trust in the Lord. Thirdly, keep ourselves in the will of God. This may be as hard as anything there is, to keep ourselves in the will of God. Jude, a little chapter, a little book there right before Revelation, has been called the preface of Revelation because of the dealings that things that it deals with. Jude, verse 20 and 21 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life." Just keep ourselves in God's will. Know what God has for us, and don't let the problems and the stress and the pressures of the world deter us. God knows what's out there in the future. God knows the way that we take. God knows where we are. And just don't let the wicked one get us out of the will of God. We can have stability if we keep in the will of God. We can have stability if we know where we're living. We can have stability if we just live our life and trust the Lord and keep ourselves in the will of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7 tells us that we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just watch where we are as we pray unto Him. Just pray. Keep our prayer life going. Keep the fires burning in our prayer life. And be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We, as a believer, ought to be very thankful for everything God has done for us. What the blessings are cannot number. Number five, one of the ways that we can have some stability, and this is one that a lot of people don't do, a lot of people don't like, a lot of people don't believe, but it does not change the fact that if we're going to have stability in this wicked world, we need to keep ourselves in the house of God. We need to keep ourselves faithful to the Lord's house. It's strange to me when problems come to the believer, the first thing they want to do is just give up on God. Just, well, I'm not going. God's not good to me. God's not doing these things for me. And God's not helping me. And I'm just not going to church anymore. When things don't go wrong, that's when we need to go to God. That's when we need to flee to Him. Oh, so many times we forsake. We tear down. We destroy the fellowship with God's people. But the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not to do away with the house of the Lord. Forsake not the church. The word assembly means coming together, ecclesia. We're not to forsake the ecclesia. That's the Greek word for church that we have translated church. It just means an assembly. And so here the Apostle Paul tells us not to forsake the assembling or the churching of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, we can all point to those that have done that. Every one of us know folks tonight that are not in church, that used to go to church, and they have forsaken everything. Well, Paul says, don't do that. And those folks that have done that, if they'll be honest with you, they're not happy. If they'll be honest, they're not living the life that they thought it would be. So we're not to do the as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more, as we see what? The day approaching. What is it? The day He's coming. As we see these things taking place, here the Lord says, go to church. That's what it means. Don't forsake the house of God. Don't forsake the people of God. Don't forsake the assembly of God. Be in the house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in church. Want to have stability? You don't get it. You don't get stability on CNN News, MSNBC. That's the too liberal crowd. You don't get stability on Fox. That's the conservative crowd. And I disagree with them since many things. I don't think they're conservative anymore. You don't get stability on the TV set. You don't get stability on the radio. You don't get stability that needs to be given to anywhere else except the house of God. Somebody says, you're awful narrow-minded on that. I sure am. I don't believe the child of God ought to go anywhere other than the house of God to get his spiritual uplifting and serving. Now, there's other things that God can use, but number one thing is the Lord's house. If it was so important that Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Acts, that He gave Himself for the, what? Church. If He thought it was important enough that he'd give Himself for the church, I certainly ought to give my time to the church and honor Him because of the Word of God. If you want stability, there it is. Isaiah 26 tells us that we are to keep our hearts and minds upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He's the Lord Jehovah. I read that verse this morning. Keep our hearts and minds stayed upon the Lord. That means fastened, fixed, immovable upon the Lord. Keep our hearts where they ought to be and keep our lives in tune to the Lord. And we all have problems with this. We're all susceptible to the pressures of life. But this is how that we can have stability in an unstable world, because Jesus is coming and the world is blowing up before our very eyes, and nations are falling and kingdoms are going. But Jesus said, their end is coming soon. The wicked prosper. That's one of the hard things that people ask sometimes. Why do I live right and I struggle, and so-and-so down there, he's nothing but a wicked, ungodly individual, and seems like everything they do just turns to gold. Why is that? And just remember, God says His day is coming. Why does He prosper? I have no idea. Why do we not prosper sometimes? Well, probably because when we prosper, we forget about the Lord. When we have a lot, we forget where our lot came from. And so we need to stay and keep our hearts stayed upon the Lord. And then lastly, to have stability in this life and in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ, keep our eyes on the sky. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that. Every day of our life as a believer, we ought to think about, is this the day that He shall appear? Is this the day that He's coming? It could be, it might be, and one day it will be the day when He comes. So until then, just know where we're living, know the time frame, trust in the Lord, keep ourselves in the will of God, keep praying, stay faithful to God's house, keep our minds on the things of the Lord, and look for Him. He is coming. Soon and very soon, our Lord shall appear. Just as we hear the rain outside and thank the Lord for the rain, He is coming. Just as sure as we hear the thunder and we see the lightning, the Lord says, as the lightning shineth in the east, go to the west. He said, I'm coming that way. And just as He has promised us those things, we can have assurance in our heart and our life that I can survive. We are survivors because we have the Spirit of God in our heart, and He rules and reigns in our lives, and we serve Him. So when Psalm 37 gives us the bleak picture, and then the other side He says, but I know their end. When Psalms 37 tells us all the things that the wicked do, and we can identify with that. There's wickedness everywhere. And we didn't read all the almost almost read the whole chapter tonight because it all deals with the same thing over and over again. Verse 27, depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. The wicked shall be cut off, verse 28. The righteous shall inherit the land, dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, his tongue talketh in the law of his God is in his heart. All these things keep us having stability in our personal life. And so may God help us tonight to realize where we're living. And it should not shock us, anything that happens in this world, because we know who the God of this world is. He has more control now than he's had ever before. He has the news, he has the media, he has the governments, he has everything in his hand. But God says, they're going to be like the grass of the field. They're going to die. Their end is coming. God says, their day is coming. You know, one of these days we'll be there and we'll listen to the judgment of God upon the wicked. And the question is asked concerning the devil after it's all said and done. It's one of the hardest verses I have in the Scripture to find. I know it's in there. I have a hard time finding it because I don't know exactly the wording of it. But the Scripture says the question is going to be asked, is that him, is that he who bothered us so much? That's paraphrased. But it just simply said, is that him? Brother, when we look at when God gets done with Satan and get done with all the workings of the evil, we're going to stand back in amazement and say, was he really the one that bothered us so much? In sight of the presence and the honor and the glory and the power of God, the devil is nothing. Is that him? Did he really bother us that much? Oh, thank God one day. And we'll be in that place he has prepared for us. Let's stand together tonight and be